I prepared to record this by reading the book. Because I'm an actor, I knew that I had to put it in my mouth. I couldn't just read it over with my eyes.
I'm excited that listeners get to encounter this book in such a intimate way that you don't necessarily get to do when you read it on the page.
There's a significant amount of Spanglish in this book, and so going from a Spanish pronunciation of a word into an English sentence was oftentimes a bit difficult.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet actress, playwright, and activist Najla Saeed, supermodel and co-founder of Model Mafia, Cameron Russell, and executive director of the Undocumented Migration Project, Jason De Leon. Tune in to hear these authors talk about their new work and what it was like for them to record their audiobooks. Enjoy!
Hi, my name is Najla Saeed, and I am the author of Looking for Palestine, Growing Up Confused in an Arab American Family. My book actually grew out of a play that was originally stand-up comedy that was too long because I talked too much. And then it was a solo play, and then I had so much more to say that it became a book. And it was originally the play, This Is Crazy, was inspired by one song, which is Crucify by Tori Amos, which sent me back to being 18 on this weird trip with my family. And that is literally how the whole thing started, by hearing one song. The one word I would use to describe recording my audiobook is focus, which is like my worst subject. So it was really hard, but it was so fun. I loved it because I didn't have to move. I could sit in a chair. I wrote a lot of words that I thought I knew how to say, but I didn't know how to say. Like, I had trouble pronouncing mores. That was the one. I think there was another one, but that one, that was hard. What I'm really excited for people to hear is my mom as a character, because so much of my mom's personality relies on her accent, which you can read and imagine in your head, but it's really fun to do it because it really makes her, what she says, even funnier and even more sort of fascinating. And the way she puts sentences together also cracks me up. So that's what I'm most excited about people hearing. I prepared to record this by reading the book, and also because I'm an actor, I knew that I had to put it in my mouth. I couldn't just read it over with my eyes. And so I would read sections of it and try to make sure that my mouth was articulate and moving. But once you're in here, it's a whole different thing. You need to keep putting lip balm on and drinking water. And as a theater actor, you think this is like easier because you're not using your whole body, but it's actually harder because you're just sitting still and you have to kind of get your energy to stay up. If I were going to record this again, I would bring with me a voice teacher from my acting school like 20 years ago to fix my neck so that it didn't hurt. I really can't imagine anyone reading my book except me. I think it would be funny to imagine my dad reading it, just how he would interpret it. That would be like my dream, just because it would be funny and to hear him like make fun of me a little bit. But if I had to choose like a living person, I know who I would choose, which is so random. Kathy Najimy, who's a friend of mine, and she's like a voiceover genius, but she also loves my book and has read it at least twice. So I feel like she's the only person who deserves it and could do it. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. I am a Palestinian Lebanese American Christian woman, but I grew up as a Jew in New York City. I began my life, however, as a WASP. I was born in Boston to an Ivy League literature professor and his wife, baptized into the Episcopal Church at the age of one, and at five, sent to an all-girls private school on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, one that boasts among its alumni such perfectly formed and well-groomed American blue bloods as the legendary Jacqueline Onassis.
Hi, this is Cameron Russell, author of How to Make Herself Agreeable to Everyone. I think primarily this is a story about repair. It's about repairing different stories. I wanted to repair a story that I had inherited from my mother that a lot of us have, that men are evil. I wanted to repair a story that I think a lot of us hold about girls coming of age when they are assaulted. I wanted to repair a story about the fashion industry that we all sort of accept that, you know, when you pull back the curtain, what you find is powerful men and women who know how to argue they're empowered by objectification. And each of these stories, although they explained parts of the world, they didn't feel like they could repair those parts. And so I think I needed, inside our, you know, very rapidly moving attention economy, to sit down and try to get into more complicated ways of explaining what I was seeing that didn't rely on these old stories. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be familiar. Or perhaps oddly familiar if I get two words. I found the work of recording to be similar in some strange ways to modeling, in that you are trying to hold your body in a sort of uncomfortable position without making any noise, rather stiff, and also be emotive at the same time. I realized that almost all the names that I had encountered in my research, I had never said aloud. So I just had to double check nearly every single name in the book because I didn't want to say them aloud for the first time wrong. And then also all the words in French and in other languages that I was nervous about pronouncing in a ridiculous way. I'm excited that listeners get to encounter this book in such an intimate way that you don't necessarily get to do when you read it on the page, because it really feels like being in the room with someone. And I really wanted to write this book to be an experience of intimacy and to question all those things that we understand about the boundary between performer and audience. So actually, I think the format of it being spoken really lends to what I was trying to do on the page. And so I hope that lots of people listen to the audiobook. I didn't think that it was even something I was going to get to do, really, until the end. And I'm really happy I got to interact with readers this way. I prepared for the audiobook recording by ensuring that I had childcare. Yeah, like all working parents, that was my preparation. If I had to record again, I would bring the 2 days of experience that I just had with me into the studio and likely do a better job because this was my first audio recording ever. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I think what I would like is to have a whole chorus of voices recording this story. You know, there are a couple moments in the book where I try to bring in lots of other voices, and one of my hopes for this book is actually that it sort of cracks the door open for readers and makes us feel really curious about why we don't hear more voices from throughout the fashion supply chain and take more voices from fashion more seriously. So I think it would be fun to kind of have a lot of the folks who inspired my writing help read this first book and introduce them to readers in that way. So I love listening to audiobooks, and actually I read a lot of books through the Libby app, where you just put in your library card or even multiple library cards, and then you can reserve ebooks and audiobooks that come directly to your phone. And so when I search for a book I want to read, I'm always delighted to find when there's an audio version that I can listen to while I make my kids dinner or, you know, bike them around or whatever. And now listen to a clip from my audiobook. Tolerate, synonym, swallow. A choice the body makes with the brain. How can I tell you that with every fiber of my being, I participated? I worry I will break your heart. If I consented, then I am not virtuous. Why am I writing to you, Mom? Your parental instinct is to ensure my survival, and you believe that depends on me being likable, employable, confident, and composed. So in order to tell you something we've never spoken about, because it would possibly undermine our carefully constructed exterior, while still reassuring you I will survive, I have to write a book to you. ¶¶
This is Jason DeLeon, author of Soldiers and Kings, Survival and Hope in the World of Human Smuggling. Soldiers and Kings is the culmination of about 7 years of ethnographic work trying to understand the daily lives of human smugglers, people who are paid to get desperate migrants across hardening geopolitical boundaries. And the book was really inspired by the death of a young man named Roberto, a smuggler who I met in southern Mexico in Chiapas in 2015. And his death really kind of fundamentally changed my life. You know, he was someone I got to know quite well while doing research on migration in the area and starting to try to understand who smugglers were, how they got into that occupation. And he was murdered early on in my fieldwork. And it kind of put me into this existential crisis where I thought either I walk away from this research because it's just too brutal, or I fulfill a promise that I had made to him that I was going to try and write about his life. And so his death put me on this track that sent me all over Mexico, all over Honduras and the United States, as I followed both his backstory as well as the story of other smugglers who were in his world. If I had to describe what it's like to record your own audiobook in one word, that word would be humbling. I remember someone asked me before this thing started if I was taking voice lessons. And I was a smartass and just said, I've been talking all my life. What do I need lessons for? And I've read this book out loud probably 60 times to myself. But there's something else that happens when there's a microphone in front of you, when you're in the studio, when there's attention being put onto all the details and all of the nuance of the words. You know, you run out of steam, you dehydrate, you get brain dead from doing this thing. And I think sometimes it can be very easy to get lost in the words, especially if you've written them. And so you've already kind of memorized them on some level if you're an author, I think. So for me, it was just humbling to have to come in here every day and work hard and be fully present. But I think I would also describe it as, you know, a really great experience. I didn't get to read my first book and I deeply regret that. And so I feel very lucky to be able to do it for this one, especially because this one is so personal. My other book was also quite personal, but this one, I think, hit me in a different way. There are many words and phrases that I cannot pronounce correctly, and this exercise in reading this book out loud just confirmed that. You know, some of the words, like chicanery, that was a word that I think I've been mispronouncing my entire life. There are other words that I struggled with, like contract and contract, and when to use them in the right context was sometimes a bit challenging. And I will say the other hard thing about some of these words is there's a significant amount of Spanglish in this book. And so going from a Spanish pronunciation of a word into an English sentence was oftentimes a bit disorienting and difficult. I think for some listeners, especially people who know me, they're going to give me a hard time about some of the dialogue. I mean, this is a book that's got a lot of intense language, usually not my own language. It's language that's being quoted from someone else, and it's a bit colorful. And so I think that, you know, as an academic, having to read this out loud, I think can be a little entertaining for folks. But I think on a more serious level, I'm just excited for people to be able to listen to the words of the people that I work with. You know, stories that broke my heart, that changed my life, words that deeply affected me and that have stuck with me forever. And I'm excited to share those words with other readers. And it's not being paraphrased by me. It's me trying to elevate those voices as directly as possible for a listener. So I'm excited for people to be able to engage with those words. The way I prepared for this audio project was I didn't get any sleep. I drank a lot of alcohol, totally dehydrated, and then chased. No, I'm just kidding. I tried to hydrate as much as possible. I think that was the kind of the most important thing in getting sleep. But really, as someone who has worked in the Arizona desert for many, many years, the kind of trick with desert hiking, when I tell students, is like, if you're not going to the bathroom constantly, you're not drinking enough water. And I feel like when I come into this recording studio, I have to go to the bathroom every 20 minutes. And that's because I'm just constantly downing water. And in some ways, it feels like it's almost more dehydrating to talk for 7 hours than it is to run 3 miles or to do some other kind of vigorous physical activity. But I think for me, that was probably the most important thing, was just trying to stay as hydrated as possible. I think my dream narrator to do this book, if it wasn't going to be me, would be the people themselves who are in the book. I would love for, you know, Chino and Jesmyn, Kingston, and all the people who I write about in this book to be able to say their own words out loud for the general public. But, you know, that's probably not a realistic kind of thing for a bunch of different reasons. But I think if I could pick other people who aren't in the book themselves, I think it would be great to have someone like Jason Isbell, who's my favorite musician, who has this wonderful Southern accent. I would love to have someone read this who just has a totally different voice than my own, because I think in some ways what I was really trying to do is tell a more universal story. And so I think having someone, you know, with a Southern accent or who doesn't sound like me or, you know, who's not bilingual, try to engage with the story and see how that translates. I think that would be a really interesting exercise and one that I would hope would potentially even help broaden the audience. If I had to record this book again, I think the thing that I would have done is prepared the studio space a little bit more. You know, so we're on the fourth day of recording and, you know, in this book, it revolves around the life and death of my friend Roberto. And so on day four, to kind of help me get through the very end of this book, which is, I think, for me, the most difficult part to read, I brought in a picture of him to kind of be there as moral support. And I think if I was to start this whole thing over from day one, I would have had his picture and other pictures in here, you know, just as kind of inspiration and, you know, to give me a little bit of comfort. Because I think, you know, sometimes the studio environment can be a little bit sterile or uncomfortable, especially if you haven't spent much time in one. And, you know, as a musician, I would have always brought a bunch of stuff in here to help me feel more comfortable if I was going to spend several days in this room. But, you know, I wasn't thinking about that in terms of an audiobook, but I really wish that I had, and it probably would have made me a bit more comfortable in the beginning and would have been able to ease into the process a little bit quicker. I don't listen to a lot of audiobooks because I'm mostly in the car with small children who probably aren't the appropriate audience for the books that I would want to be listening to. But I did recently listen to the audio version of the book Motel Life by my buddy Willie Vallotton. You know, I've read the book many, many times, but I'd never listened to the audio version of it. And it's so good. And it was like engaging with it in a different way. You know, he reads his own book. He's got this great delivery. And one of the things that struck me about listening to the book versus the many times that I've read it, there were a lot more funny parts in the audio version that came across because of his delivery. And so it makes me now really want to listen to a lot of my favorite books, the audio versions of those now, because I think maybe there are some things that I'm potentially missing out on. My favorite places to listen to audiobooks, it's either in the car, especially when I'm alone, or when I'm running, to just be able to have this story that I can kind of follow along with and to kind of be in some other world while I'm punishing my aging body by running up and down the hills in my neighborhood. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. I push around an overpriced cup of coffee while my reflection stares back at me from a polished marble table. Everything in this restaurant is clean and bright and perfumed with that pungent disinfectant smell characteristic to Latin America. CNN in Spanish plays loudly on a television mounted above the bar. Talking heads drown out the traffic sounds of Tegucigalpa, Honduras, outside. I'm seated among lawyers, diplomats, and other fancy people who consume their continental breakfasts in a country with some of the highest poverty and murder rates in the world.
This is The Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.